Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bill Barnwell Show, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Today, we have Lindsay Theory breaking down the chaos before Rams-Cardinals, and Mike Reese giving a post-mortem for the 2020 New England Patriots. But before we get into today's episode, I wanted to quickly tell you about another special ESPN podcast. It's 30 for 30 podcast presenting March 11th, 2020, a standalone audio documentary that tells the story of the day the NBA shut down and the pandemic became real for many Americans, as told by those who lived the events of the day and built entirely with archival and exclusive interviews, including Rudy Gobert and Dr. Anthony Fauci. March 11, 2020 will tell the story of a day that started in one reality and ended in a new one. 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020. Subscribe and listen now wherever you get your podcasts. Now, here's Lindsay Theory.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. But don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now, get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, joining me now, as promised, here on the Bill Barnwell Show, a frequent guest whenever we have to talk about the Los Angeles Rams. And to me, heading into Week 17, this is the most interesting matchup on the slate. Rams-Cardinals, a playoff spot, maybe two playoff spots, but at least one playoff spot, is on the line. And joining us, talk about a Rams team that is in a sticky situation right now, is our friend Lindsay Theory. Lindsay, how are you?
Bill, doing well. How are you? Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure as always. I'm great. Thank you. I am excited to talk about this Rams-Cardinals game. A lot of different angles to get to, but let's start with the first sort of most significant storyline coming out of Sunday's loss to the Seahawks. That is Jared Goff's thumb injury. We saw him reset his thumb on the field. Pretty gruesome. I don't know about you. Not something I would be comfortable doing, but Jared Goff's much tougher than I am, but had surgery on the thumb after the game. So Lindsay, in terms of Jared Goff's timeline, having had this surgery, I believe on Monday, if I'm not mistaken, when are the Rams sort of hoping to get Jared Goff back?
Yeah, so Jared did have the surgery on Monday, and it was really interesting the wording that Sean McVay chose to use. He said that it was to stabilize that thumb. So that thumb stabilized. And because of that, the Rams are really hopeful that he's going to return really for the first round of the playoffs. Of course, they still have to clinch that playoff spot. But there is a lot of hope with Sean McVay that Jared will be available soon. So that kind of means that in the meantime, that John Wolford's just going to be kind of a stopgap. You know, the Rams need to either beat the Cardinals or they're depending on Chicago to lose to the Packers. So if you kind of look at it from that angle, you know, the Rams don't necessarily have to win this game, but they just need to hope that the Packers also take care of business. So that if that all happens, they are hopeful that Jared Goff will be able to return for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, they have to win or at least have to. It would help them significantly to win in Week 17 against the Cardinals. You mentioned John Wolford. He, of course, is going to be this team's new starting quarterback, you would figure, for Week 17. How obscure is John Wolford?
Well, I just had to write an article where the headline is literally, who is John Wolford? Because nobody knows. Who is this guy? He has never appeared in an NFL game. Now, he has played the preseason. That doesn't count. He has never appeared in a regular season NFL game. He hasn't even been on the field for one play, let alone actually touched a football on the field. He's a pretty obscure guy. Now, he was a 4-year starter at Wake Forest. He did get some time as a non-roster member at the New York Jets after he went undrafted in 2018. And it was actually the Jets who called him. He was eating sushi in North Carolina, and he received a phone call from the Jets in 2018. And they said, hey, we need another quarterback for our preseason finale. Can you come play? And so he spent 10 days with the team before they cut him loose. So he's a guy who spent last season on the Rams practice squad. And kind of shockingly, the Rams, not kind of shockingly, actually very shockingly, the Rams went into this season and kind of doubled down that he was going to be their backup quarterback in lieu of maybe re-signing Blake Bortles or going to find another veteran, because they felt that confident in what he was able to bring to this offense and his knowledge of the playbook.
How confident do you really think, though, that Sean McVay is? And John Wolford, I know that he was going to be the backup, but Jared Goff hadn't missed time. I mean, do you feel like this is a guy Sean McVay really thinks he can build something around in a meaningful game?
I do, and that probably seems wild. I mean, when you look at John Wolford, he's listed at 6'1". I think he's probably lucky to scratch 6 feet. But I think, you know, Sean McVay kind of seems to get excited about players that remind him of himself a little bit. And to me, that's exactly who John Wolford is. He's mobile. You'll probably watch him on a lot of bootlegs, but you'll see maybe McVay play to his strengths. He's different from Jared in that he can run. He's quick. So we'll see. And, you know, it's really interesting timing for Sean McVay to need to be creative and put John Wolford in a spot to be successful, because it's no secret going into this game that this Rams offense has struggled mightily from the play calling to Jared Goff's turnovers and inconsistencies. So it's kind of an interesting time for this to need to happen.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that as well, because even if the Rams had Jared Goff in this game, I think we would have valid questions to ask about this offense. Over the last 5 games with Jared Goff under center, he's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns, 5 picks, 4 touchdowns, a passer rating of 78.7 over the last 5 weeks. And, you know, I certainly feel like we saw in that Seahawks game, even before the injury, Jared Goff was struggling. He threw an ugly interception, got away with another pick on a pass to Tyler Higbee that should have been a touchdown, missed some throws, was really struggling, and then, of course, got hurt, and that made things worse. But over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks, Lindsay, is there any one thing you can point to that's been the biggest problem with this Rams offense? And if you think there's any way for Sean McVay to fix it in this must-win game?
The biggest problem has been Jared Goff. You know, that's very kind of a blunt way to put it, but he has just been careless with the football. I mean, the interception he threw on Sunday against the Seahawks at Quandre Diggs was just so inexplicable to the point where even after the game, he said, "That's probably the worst play I've ever made." And it absolutely is right up there with them. You know, he hasn't been a game manager. They have won games in spite of Jared and his turnovers as well. I mean, this defense is a Super Bowl caliber defense. So really going into this game, what they need John Wolford to do is just hang on to the football. Do not turn it over. This defense is so good. They will shut down an opponent. They just need this offense to not even play at a high level, just play to almost not make mistakes, which is kind of the cardinal sin in sports. You want to play to win. But they just need this offense to be somewhat efficient. And with Jared Goff recently, they haven't been. So you never know kind of going into this game. I mean, Goff has been performing well below standard. And the most frustrating part about that is he is a very capable quarterback.
Of course.
We saw it in 2017. We saw it in 2018. But really, since that Super Bowl loss to the Patriots, it has just been an up and down roller coaster where you see glimpses of great Jared Goff, but you also have seen a lot of really bad football. So going to this game, I don't know that there was a ton of confidence that Jared Goff was going to even be able to kind of turn around his slump. So again, it might be kind of I don't want to say a blessing in disguise, but maybe just a little shot into the arm to have to put John Wolford in and have to come up with a new plan.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I mean, in terms of what this offense might look like come Sunday, I mean, you would figure this Rams team would want to try to avoid mistakes. It seemed like they were being pretty conservative against the Seahawks, wanting to avoid the turnovers, of course, that eventually come with the interception. But in terms of what this offense is going to look like on Sunday, with John Wolford, or I guess, or maybe if Blake Bortles does come in as a possible replacement, if Wolford does struggle, or if Wolford does struggle, I should say, excuse me. Do you think there is going to be more of a run heavy approach? And if that happens, who's going to be running the football for the Rams?
Well, that's a great question, because Daryl Henderson is their leading rusher. He is going to injured reserve, high ankle sprain against the Seahawks. Cam Akers, who'd really been their breakout back week 15 against the Jets, high ankle sprain. So he was inactive last Sunday. Sean McVay said he's making good progress. And I know Sean McVay, after covering him for four seasons, is an eternal optimist when it comes to getting players back. Everybody's day to day until you realize, well, that's actually 3 or 4 weeks. He sounded confident that there's a chance Cam Akers will play Sunday. I have my doubts just because of the nature of high ankle sprains, which means that their run game is going to really depend on Malcolm Brown. He's been solid between the tackles. He's great in pass protection, but he's not necessarily going to go in there and light the run game on fire. And then there's a couple of rookies who've never played on offense who are going to be behind him. So it's not like the Rams are going into a situation where they can just hand the ball off and expect them to run it like we saw maybe last year against the Bears. They're going to have to depend on John Wolford to do a few things. Now, the good news for that is that he's really quite a dynamic quarterback. Going back to preseason, a couple intra-squad scrimmages that the Rams had. I mean, there was one in particular where John was really rolling to his left, rolling to his right, bootleg, and he was able to kind of keep some plays alive, extend some plays with his legs. So I wouldn't be surprised on Sunday to see them. You know, I don't think they're going to ask him to throw the ball deep downfield. They haven't asked Jared Goff to do that all season. So maybe intermediate short throws, maybe some designed runs. And I think we'll see plenty of times when John Wolford doesn't see an open man and he'll take off running himself. So I think it'll be a little bit of a more dynamic look for the offense. But I wouldn't expect anything to really call upon John to have to pass far downfield.
Makes sense. And something that would help both the running game and the passing game would be Andrew Whitworth, who's been missing with an injury. Is there any chance the Rams get Andrew Whitworth back for Sunday?
Not for this Sunday. The goal all along has been for him to return for the playoffs. Sean McVay said yesterday that there is a good chance that that will happen, that Whitworth will be available come the playoffs. He's been making good progress. He's had the progress report videos up on his social media feed, which have been pretty wild to watch. A 39-year-old guy who tore his MCL and PCL, I believe. Don't quote me on that one. Make the kind of quick progress that he has with a brace on his leg to get back out on the field.
Yeah, I mean, just a absolute freak of a player. And you were correct. You nailed it. Torn MCL and I think a damaged PCL. So
it was the PCL. So you get to this point in the season and you have sprains, PCLs, MCLs, ACLs, and it gets a little jumbled.
I'm giving you credit for that one. I think you nailed that. I'm not going to fault you for that one in the slightest. Now, we talked about the Rams offense. On the other side of the field, the other team, the Arizona Cardinals, might have a backup quarterback in their own right. Kyler Murray has quote unquote, a lower leg injury, according to Cliff Kingsbury. Obviously not many details there. We saw him get hurt right at the end of the Cardinals loss last weekend. So Lindsay, who might be starting against John Wolford for the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah. So it was looking like, according to Cliff Kingsbury, that it was going to be Chris Strugler, but then maybe there was some walk back later on a radio station and maybe it's Brett Hundley. I think it'd be a real head scratcher why it might not be Brett Hundley, but Chris Strugler sounds like he might be the guy. He's really, you want to talk about the bowl of quarterbacks where nobody knows who they are and says who. Chris Strugler is a guy who played in the CFL and he won a Grey Cup. Then he came down, joined the Cardinals. But it's really going to be interesting to see, because obviously we all know what Kyler Murray is capable of, and very high ceiling of a quarterback. And it seems like just doing some preliminary research on Chris Strebler, he might offer, I mean, by no means Kyler Murray, but offer a few of the same traits with the ability to run and throw.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing both these teams struggle on offense. And I don't think Kyler Murray takes as much of the blame for the Arizona struggles as Jared Goff does for the Rams struggles over the last few weeks. But I think we're seeing teams now where we don't know what their game plan is going to look like if they have to play these backup quarterbacks, which could make for a absolutely fascinating game come this weekend. Now, want to finish up with this, Lindsay, because I feel like there is a legitimate question maybe to be had here. Maybe you'll dissuade me. In terms of the Rams big picture, we know Sean McVay isn't going anywhere. I'm assuming Jared Goff isn't going anywhere anytime soon. There's been obviously talk about benching him or you know, moving on from him, but I think that's mostly just internet chatter as opposed to you know, a significant thing that might happen this offseason. But in terms of the long-term plans for this organization, if they miss the playoffs for the second straight year, do you think anything changes in the big picture for the Rams? Or is it more just, hey, we got unlucky, our quarterback got hurt at the end of the year, we're going to retool and come back with the same core and the same philosophies for 2021?
Well, let's just point out that if they do miss the playoffs, that is going to be a historic collapse. They went into week 15 with a 99.9% chance to make the playoffs, according to our Football Power Index. Now, all that would have required was for them to win against the New York Jets, who at that time had not won a single football game. So we're talking about a historic collapse. That being said, wildly enough, big picture-wise, I don't think there's going to be a change. Sean McVay is the head coach. He's a play caller. That's not going to change. Jared Goff, they are very, very tied to him. I mean, after next season, you start looking at the dead money. It starts coming down to something somewhat manageable. We've seen the Rams get rid of players for, in fact, more money when they unloaded Brandon Cooks and took that dead money hit. But big picture wise, I don't see anything changing. I mean, Les needs their general manager. Kevin Demoff's the team chief operating officer. I mean, that to me is big picture. Now, when you get down to it, you know, I wouldn't be shocked going into the NFL draft if they look for a mid-round pick. If they, you know, Sean McVay was hired because he's a quarterback whisperer, right? I mean, everything was about what he did with Kirk Cousins out in Washington. And so he comes here, and if he really is that quarterback whisperer, which I have no doubt that he is, he needs to be involved and look at this draft and say, who can we pick in the mid-round? At the very least, to bring that guy in and provide some inspiration and competition behind Jared Goff. Because let's face it, everyone performs better when there's competition, especially in the NFL. And Jared Goff this season has had no competition behind him. And he doesn't necessarily come across, and I know some of his teammates, and he will say otherwise, as the most intrinsically motivated guy. Mm-hmm. But you put somebody else on his heels to keep nipping at him, maybe you get improved play there. So that really could be the only difference I'd see big picture, because the defense has been phenomenal. I do expect there's going to be a change on special teams with that position with the coordinator there. But big picture wise, I just don't see any big moves the Rams can make to try and improve on this.
Let me ask you now. We've seen with Philadelphia, of course, Jalen Hurts came in for a Carson Wentz who was struggling much more than Jared Goff. But Jalen Hurts came in, played well. Now, at the very least, it seems like there would be a quarterback conversation for the Eagles this offseason. There might be a competition in training camp. A slim, but I think pretty unlikely chance Carson Wentz moves on. But certainly it seems like Jalen Hurts is in that discussion now in a way he wasn't maybe at midseason or at the beginning of the year. If by some way John Wolford plays well,
I know where you're going. I know where you're going with this, and I like it.
I know where I'm going.
I've thought about it.
So, I mean, you know what? You can just take it from here. Is John Wolford going to be a meaningful part of this team if he plays well in week 17?
So this is what's wild. And I have gone back and forth in my head about whether or not Sean McVay should have necessarily been as forthcoming as he was when he spoke with us Monday about their hope to get Jared Goff back in the playoffs. So this seems wild, and some people might think I'm just completely crazy for this, and that's okay. But what happens if John Wolford goes out there on Sunday and this offense gets a fresh breath of air, a new set of life? You know, it seems wild enough, but stranger things have happened. You know, you kind of make a change sometimes, and change for change's sake isn't always good, but here's a change they had to make. So what if John Wolford goes out there and plays out of his mind and this offense looks alive? What do you do going into the next round of the playoffs? And then what does that say about your offense with Jared Goff? I mean, maybe that's the inspiration Jared Goff needs to come back in 2021 and really put it together I don't know, but I think that almost one of the scariest things that could happen for the Rams on Sunday against the Cardinals is that Wolford goes out there and plays really well, and suddenly fans especially are wondering, well, what are we really doing at quarterback?
Think about week one of 2021. Rams fans get in their stadium. The stadium is packed. Just fans chanting Wolford, Wolford, as Jared Goff struggles to move the offense. I don't think it's likely. I don't want to make this proclamation about John Wolford before he's even played, but I don't think it's out of the question that the Rams have a quarterback controversy next season if John Wolford plays well in week 17. But Lindsay, that is a long ways away. You still have this final week of the year and a possible postseason to cover. If people want to follow your work, where can they do that?
Yeah, as always on ESPN.com, I hit the Rams page, and you can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Lindsay Theory.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Lindsay. All right, thanks, Lindsay. We're going to come back with Mike Reese in a moment here on The Bill Barnwell Show. All right, joining me now, as promised, a very different situation for the New England Patriots than it is for the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams winning and getting in for the postseason. The Patriots, not so much. And joining me to give a postmortem for the 2020 New England Patriots is our friend Mike Reese. Mr. Reese, how are you?
Oh, my goodness. I am doing well, Bill. I have to say, in one respect, I'm happy we made it to this point of the season, which I wasn't sure that was going to happen. In another respect, I probably didn't see this Patriots season heading in the direction it has.
This is literally my first two questions for you are contained as questions related to what you just said. First and foremost, Mike, is it weird to be sitting here knowing that after week 17, you are not going to have to cover any more football games until September?
It is. And when you think about the idea that, so I remember vividly the last time the Patriots, played a regular season finale and then, you know, weren't in the playoffs, which was 2008. And the reason I remember it is the finale was in Buffalo and it was like the worst weather ever. And the goalposts were tilted because of the wind.
Yeah.
Oh, and so, but you thought going into the game like that, well, it was a remote chance that they would be in. They still actually had a chance, Bill, you know, going into that game. And so this has been so different, where you have two games left and you know there's no chance. Mm-hmm. You go all the way back to 2000 for that being the case, which I hardly remember what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, that's the old stadium, right?
Yep, absolutely.
A different universe, it feels like, for the Patriots, given where they are right now and given how good they've been now for, 20 years. It's incredible. And let me start with the other part of what you said. Of course, the Patriots now, we know they're going to be out of the postseason. We know that their season is over. They're going to be 6-9, have a week 17 game to come. Could be a 6-10 season, could be a 7-9 season, but a losing season for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Mike, how surprised are you by what happened this year versus your expectations maybe heading into the regular season?
Yeah, I would put it at, surprised, not mildly surprised, but surprised because, think about how fast they started, Bill, mm-hmm. And I go back to week 3 and they had just come off that near win in Seattle on the Sunday night, right? Where they almost got the Seahawks,
yep.
And they would have been 2-0, and they got the Raiders coming to town. And I am on Sunday NFL Countdown, and I got a Tom Brady jersey behind me and a Cam Newton jersey behind me. Mm-hmm. And I'm making the point that, look, this is still hard getting used to the idea that Tom Brady isn't around, but these Cam Newton jerseys, they're flying off the shelves. Like, people were excited, Bill, about Cam at that time based on what we had seen through the first 2 weeks of the season. And so I think that's where my surprise is that, I had a lot of questions before the year started. It started so well, and then the surprise would be how quickly it went off the rails.
Mm-hmm. Was there a moment for you where the expectations changed and where you said, okay, something is wrong here and I don't think the Patriots are going to be able to fix it?
I would say that the little snapshot in time that would stand out to me would be after the COVID disruption. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, that was a whole mess where in week four, they're going down a highly anticipated game, face Kansas City. They have the disruption. Mm-hmm. So that happens. And I would say after, not right after that game, but the stretch after that game where mm-hmm. Denver came in and beat them at home. I'm like, Patriots don't lose to Denver at home.
Right.
You know, and then San Francisco comes in. And they don't just lose, they get the doors blown off of them.
100%, yeah.
And that was the time, Bill, where I thought to myself, you know what, like, something doesn't seem right. As good as it was at the start of the year, this COVID disruption has a chance to really send them in a tailspin that they won't be able to recover from.
Yeah, I mean, that three-game stretch to start the season, you know, looked good at the time, looks even better with hindsight. I mean, beating the Dolphins, who... a good team by the end of the year, you know, certainly on a long winning streak. The Seahawks, you know, playing them to basically one play in Seattle when the offense was playing at a super high level for the Seahawks. I think that's pretty significant. And then beating the Raiders, who were a borderline playoff team this year, are going to come just short. And then, you know, competitive in that game against the Chiefs. If it had been a healthy Cam Newton, you'd say maybe they would have had a shot, but game kind of got away from them maybe in the second half. But, you know, it seems like that team was really only a few weeks shuffle or a few weeks sort of, you know, had a few weeks where they were good. And then from that point forward after the COVID, you know, even though they were winning games, beating the Jets by 3 points, beating the Ravens in the awful weather by 6 points, losing to the Texans, beating the Cardinals by 3 points in a game where the Cardinals missed a late field goal and got stuffed right before halftime, blowing out the Chargers, you know, the impressive victory, but it's really been tough for them to win games by any comfortable margin this year. And I think that's pretty telling. And I think that, you know, a lot of the discussion about this team has come around Cam Newton. That's fair. He's the starting quarterback for this team, and he's had his struggles certainly in his debut season, I guess, with the Patriots. Would you say if the Patriots sort of knew what they were going to get out of Cam this year, do you think if they could go back in time and go back to when they signed Cam, do you think they would make that same decision over again?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Because I think the upside of what he brought to them as a rusher, mm-hmm. Bill, he had 12 rushing touchdowns. And, you know, for as limited as he was in the passing game at times, I would say the main thing that defenses had to respect this year from the Patriots, and this doesn't speak highly of their passing game, but mm-hmm. was Cam as a rusher and everything that sort of came off of that, you know, the run pass options. And I guess if you take that away, I'm thinking to myself hypothetically, like if you voluntarily take that away, like what do you have? And mm-hmm. and I think when we talked in the off season, It seemed like it was really setting up to be Jarrett Stidham's team. You know, he was the top backup to Tom Brady last year, and it really looked like, you know, it was going to be him and Brian Hoyer entering the year, and you were sort of figuring that the upside of Jarrett was going to win out. And, mm-hmm. and you know, people on the team, players, staff members, like, felt like they had a chance if it was Jarrett, but now, Bill, like after he opened this year as the number three, not even the number two, he's mm-hmm. behind both Cam and Brian Hoyer. There's almost like more questions about him now. So in hindsight, I think they probably still go with Cam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think that when I see evaluations of Cam, and I think this is sort of something Bill Belichick alluded to, but I think it's something I think about a lot when it comes to Cam. You know, was he a league average starting quarterback? No. I think you have to add his running ability. I think that helps, but I still think he would have been, you know, in the bottom eight for starting quarterbacks in the NFL this season. But how much were the Patriots paying Cam Newton?
Yeah.
You know, they were paying him, I think, a $1.1 million base salary and then some incentives on top of that. I mean, Bill Belichick said this, you know, when he was talking about the Patriots cap issues during the season, that they only paid Cam Newton a little over $1 million. And that's kind of telling. Like, you could only get so much for $1 million. And I think that, you know, given their options, given that it would have been Jared Stidham, given that it would have been Brian Hoyer, or maybe someone else who got cut before the season, maybe, you know, someone like a Blake Bortles or somebody who was a total free agent. I can't imagine that they didn't get $1 million worth of value out of camp.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point, Bill, when you bring in the finances, and it's hard to argue with that. I think I will add one other thing that is, to me, a little bit of the shame of this situation is I really would have loved to have seen what Cam would do with better pieces around him.
Yeah.
You know, like, I could almost argue that it wouldn't matter which quarterback it is, and that includes the special guy that went down to Tampa, based on the pieces that ended up around the quarterback. And I guess I keep coming back to this, and maybe I'm overstating it, but I don't know if I've ever seen this before, Bill. When the Cardinals came to Gillette Stadium, they played a goal line defense as their standard defense. Like, has anyone ever done that before? Like, all over the field, when the Patriots had their base offensive personnel in the game, so two wide receivers, a tight end, a fullback, and a running back, and the Cardinals said, goal line defense. Like, what does that tell you?
Yeah, it's
like,
crazy.
They didn't respect anything that you had at receiver or tight end in the passing game. That's nuts. That's nuts.
And I mean, you know, the Patriots threw the ball for 84 yards in that game. Cam was 9 of 18 for 84 yards, so they were right to not respect that. I mean, this is a... You know, Cam certainly missed throws this year. And I don't think I don't want to suggest that Cam, you know, would have had a perfect season if he had better receivers. Yeah. But at the same time, we saw in the game last night, right? You know, I think that game still ends up being a comfortable Bills victory. But first drive, Cam with a perfect throw to Damir Bird that gets dropped. I mean, this is an offense where the receivers are Jacoby Myers, who I think has been pretty impressive this year. Damir Bird, who was supposed to be a guy who was competing for a roster spot, who's instead be a starter every single week. A 6-game season from 34-year-old Julian Edelman, the various running backs, N'Keal Harry, who, I mean, has been a disappointment since the Patriots drafted him. You're getting the guys like Gunnar Olszewski. The tight ends have been a mess. Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi haven't delivered very much as receivers. I mean, this is I would have to say the worst receiving core in football. And I don't think that, you know, that excuses Cam as a passer because he still missed plenty of throws, but it's hard to imagine that anybody was very worried on a week-to-week basis about the Patriots receivers doing much damage with the ball in their hands.
Yeah. And it's another good point. And I like how you said, you can't excuse, you know, Cam for all of it, because certainly there were times where, you know, the decision making and the accuracy was not where it needed to be.
Sure.
But at the same time, I make the analogy, it's almost like asking someone to go build a house, but not really giving them all the tools that they need, you know? And so I think ultimately that'll lead Bill Belichick this offseason to really take a hard look at opportunities that they've missed over the last 3, 4, 5 years in the draft and free agency, and with some good cap space projected and pretty good, bushel of draft picks that they'll have to really decisively try to address that.
Makes total sense. That would be the most important thing, I guess, they could address is their quarterback and their receiving game. And now the only quarterback on the roster for 2021 is Jared Stidham, who we saw a little bit last night in a hopeless situation, if we're being honest, against the Bills. He's thrown 44 passes this year, completed half of them, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks, 5.8 yards per attempt. Certainly he's been in games where they've been, you know, have had nothing to lose, and it's been a pretty conservative offense for the Patriots with Jared Stidham at quarterback. Now, of course, when we talked about Jared Stidham before the Cam Newton signing, the conversations about the Patriots seem to say, hey, they're comfortable starting Jared Stidham next season. Now, he didn't start this year. It was almost always Cam. Don't know what's going to happen in week 17. Bill Belichick has said, you know, throughout the year that Cam is a starter and Cam hasn't been the problem with this football team. But what do you think, based on what you've seen and what you've heard, the Patriots' opinion is of Jared Stidham and what are the chances that he is given a meaningful shot at starting in 2021?
Bill, I would say that there are more questions about him now than maybe that they had at this time last year.
I agree.
And the whole idea of that every year you learn something more about players that you have. I just don't know how we can overlook the idea that last year they felt comfortable with him and his upside to make him the number two behind Tom Brady. He's one snap away from taking over the team as a rookie. This year, they open the year, and he's not even the number two behind Cam and Brian Hoyer. And ultimately, he elevated to that after the fourth week of the season when Hoyer had some struggles in that Chiefs game. But to me, that now clouds the picture going forward, where I put it at longer odds that Jared Stidham will have a meaningful chance to be the answer, the starter. And it makes me think that whoever it is probably not on the roster right now.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like they're not desperate to put Jared Stidham in that role. I think if they're absolutely, you know, stuck with no other options, or if they want to, you know, just see what they can have in a meaningless situation, they'll give him opportunities. But it seems like the starting quarterback for the Patriots in 2021 is either in college football right now or a veteran who's on another team's roster. And I think what makes it tough to sort of look at their options is a good thing for the Patriots, and that they have a lot of cap space next year. They're going to have a lot of options. So to you, looking at their cap space, looking at the guys who are set to come back in 2021, given the likelihood, not the guarantee, because Bill Belichick said last night on the broadcast that some of the players who opted out might not come back next year, but if they get the majority of the players like Marcus Cannon and Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung who opted out back onto the roster in 2021, what do you think the chances are the Patriots are immediately competitive again and a playoff contender next season?
Oh, I think they can. I think they can be. I think it's a significant rebuild. If they hit the key areas, which I think are reasonable, like I think they can be right back in. And part of that, Bill, is just my feeling of like we could go through a whole list of teams over the last decade that fall into a similar category. Mm-hmm. So I feel pretty strongly about that. And I would almost make the point. I had someone text me pretty, you know, high up and with one team last night before the game saying, it's amazing that Bill got 6 wins out of this team. So like, I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, the idea that speaks that there's not enough talent on the roster, but I think it also speaks to how good of a coach he is. So I think, do you know what I mean? I'm factoring that in as well, that they're going to address some of these areas, make these improvements, and then be very well coached along the way.
It makes sense. I mean, this is a team that historically, you know, has been able to trade for players, for example, who were struggling in other rosters and then gotten more out of those players than their previous teams were getting. Thinking about, you know, Kyle Van Noy, Danny Shelton, those guys as recent examples. A team that has, you know, not always drafted perfectly, but a team that has drafted reasonably well and certainly had extra picks with which to find players, you know, not only in the first round, but also in the second, third, fourth round, and develop those players into worthwhile starters. And I think that, you know, it's very reasonable to criticize the Patriots. I don't think every move they made was perfect over the past couple of years. I think they've made plenty of mistakes. I know that you've written about it. I've written about it as well. But I do think at the end of the day that one disappointing season does not suddenly mean that Bill Belichick is the guy who, you know, got fired in Cleveland and was never set out to be a head coach. I mean, obviously this is a great, great head coach. I think the Patriots are going to be, you know, a team that if they do invest right this offseason, could be right back up there in the playoff hunt come 2021.
Yeah, and I write about that a little bit this week, Bill. I think we're on the same wavelength. I would just add one thing, you know, for Bill Belichick, and I think as long as he asks some very hard questions of himself and of Director of Player Personnel, Nick Caserio, because I think they do need to look back, just as I sort of retrace their steps. you know, the drafts, you know, 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, like they had the right guys targeted. Like to me, Alvin Kamara should be a Patriot. Like they had him in their sights that draft, and they got a little, they made a trade before the draft for Coney Ealy. Mm-hmm. And basically it moved them from the end of the second round to about 8 to 10 picks into the third round. And turned out Kamara, you know, ended up going right between the gap of where they left mm-hmm. to where they ended up. And I think, you know, that type of stuff, Bill, like they know this because of their internal evaluations. But like I could give you like other examples that I believe based on sort of piecing things together, like Terry McLaurin. Like, mm-hmm. I think he should be a Patriot. Like, mm-hmm. I think they had him targeted as their type of guy in the third round. They end up trading down around a couple times, mm-hmm. You know, and they miss him. And I think that's the one thing, like, if I look at it critically, and when they go in and self-scout themselves as to how did it get to this point and what can we do different, you know, maybe there's something to be said for a little less of that, you know, the movement or the cute stuff, and maybe you just lock and load. Stay where you are, be decisive, and go get those guys at those positions you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, one pick away from drafting Terry McLaurin in 2019. They, of course, traded down that year with the Seahawks. Bill Belichick's made a lot of good trades in the draft over the course of his, you know, 20 years with the Patriots. Yeah. That year they traded down so the Seahawks could draft DK Metcalf, and then Terry McLaurin went one pick of the Patriots drafting Chase Vinovich, a very good player, but certainly Patriots would have loved to have grabbed one of those two wide receivers with those picks. Now let me finish up with this, Mike, and this is a question where you can tell me 0%, and I will believe it. You are the most plugged-in Patriots reporter I know. Is there any chance at all, even a 0.01% chance, that Bill Belichick says, you know what, I am a little tired, I'm a little worn down, I want to recharge my batteries, I want to move on. Is there any chance Bill Belichick is not the coach of this football team in 2021?
I would be shocked. Mm-hmm. And part of it ties to, you know, he's got both of his sons on staff. I think he still loves it. I think this has been a challenging season with COVID. I don't think this is the way he would want it to end. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, Bill, that I look at is he's competitive. Like, that's part of what he's wired by. And, you know, he's got a chance to catch Don Shula for, mm-hmm. you know, the all-time wins list. And I think that type of thing would be, it's worth the quest for him, you know, to keep doing that. So it would take something extreme and unexpected for me to even register that as a 0.01 on the radar. Well, we know that anything can happen. Like, mm-hmm. it would really surprise me.
Makes sense. Well, Mike, if people somehow, and I don't understand how this is possible because you've been doing this for so long at such a high level, but if someone is not reading your Patriots coverage on a day-to-day basis, where can they do that and how can they get more Mike Reese in their lives?
Appreciate you saying that, Bill. Well, I love the way we have it set up on ESPN.com, where if you go there, you go to the NFL tab, and all 32 teams, we have reporters covering all those teams. So you would just go, in my case, down to the Patriots tab, and you can find all the articles on Twitter. It's at Mike Reese. And I would say that all of our ESPN reporters are great. So, you know, don't just do Patriots. Check them all out.
Awesome. Well, Mike, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and interesting offseason up ahead for the Patriots. I'm sure we'll have you on during the offseason to talk more about what they do, but it's always an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. Mike Reese, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Bill. It's always great being on with you.
Thanks so much to my guests, Lindsay Theory and Mike Reese, both of ESPN, do a great job covering the Rams and the Patriots, respectively. Check that out on ESPN.com. And guys, have a happy new year. Hope you have a healthy and happy week. Hope you enjoy the football games coming up this Sunday. Hope that if you are, I guess, on the last week of your fantasy season, if you are a monster who plays in a week 17 league, or if you are rooting for one of the teams who are on the playoff bubble, hope your team gets in. We will have more audio coming next week. Playoff previews, playoff recaps, all that good stuff coming through the postseason here on the Bill Barnwell Show.